Good morning. This is Sunday, June 2nd, 2024. We are continuing our study of the art of spiritual healing, thanks to a suggestion that had been made to me a few weeks ago. And we're about halfway through this chapter, Developing a Healing Consciousness, Chapter 6. Before we begin, let's get silent, let's get still, find your peace, and listen. I'm not sure how long this talk is going to be, but let's start here. He gives you the, one, two, three treatments so that you can get the idea. He ends this one with, love is that which cares for its own. He says, notice that the treatment is always a recognition of the nothingness of the condition, and it deals only with God and the qualities of God. God is infinite good, the infinite all, the infinite presence, the infinite effect. Finally, the realization is achieved that God really is all in all. Now, every time it says realization, it means discernment. It means you have contemplated God in your treatment. You've come to a place where you're standing still. There's no efforts inside. There's no struggle inside. There's only a resting. And then you feel something. Something which transcends your thinking. Something which transcends words and thoughts. You have an inner realization that God is all in all. You discern that loving presence, and you know that it's all in all. That is meditation. So finally, the realization is achieved that God really is all in all. And besides God, there is nothing else. And by that time, you will have come to see that there cannot be such a thing as a patient. Because there could never be a person, a personality, or individuality apart from God. Nor could there be a condition or circumstance apart from God. You must know every bit of truth you can know. Take every synonym for God you can possibly find and see it in its relationship to individual being. Every truth you know about God is the truth about individual man, since the principle is God and man are one. So you take a synonym for God. God is light. Light is the manifestation from omnipresent. Light. Light appears as individual being. God emanates light as individual being. Individual being is an emanation of light. Like that. You take the synonyms you know, and you contemplate them as they apply to individual being. And eventually you come to the end of your thinking about it, and there's an inner movement, and thinking changes into discernment. You actually discern this inner light. He says, to think of man as being sick or sinning and in need of God is to lose the effect of the treatment. The treatment must embody the realization or the discerning of the great truth that he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. God and his manifestations are one. They're one. One light, whether it appears invisibly, one light, whether it appears visibly. And then he says, one morning, in answer to a call, so somebody called him, he sat down to meditate. And he listened. God gave me the strangest treatment that has ever come to me in all my years of work. The words I heard were, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That was all. I did not understand it. So I sat there with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I must have repeated those words 12 times very slowly, trying to see if I could get a meaning out of it. And then, like a burst of light, it came. Why, yes, you know that God is the Father. Certainly. God is the Father, but God is also the Son. Are we not all sons of the one Father? Well then, no son of God can be in any trouble or difficulty as long as he realizes, discerns his sonship. And the Holy Ghost? That is our awareness or understanding of this oneness of God and man. The treatment was as simple as that, and the healing took place with the realization that God is the only being, with the discerning that God is the only being, the only identity, eternally about the Father's business of glorifying the Father. Now, I made a note here, in the margin, God is not a rabbit's foot. You don't sit down to have a meditation when you wake up in the morning and rehearse these statements of truth and then get up and go about your business and feel that you have a rabbit's foot that'll take care of you all through the day. No, God is not a rabbit's foot. But when you discern God, you get the feel of it in your consciousness, then you do in fact come under the law of God, under the protection of God, under the influence of God. It's your discernment. It's not God. God's being God. But your discernment of it makes it take effect in your consciousness. Therefore, Joel recommends that you have 20 to 30 2-minute meditations throughout your day and night. 2 minutes, very, very brief. But it is enough to give you the discernment so that you live and move and have your being in discerning God with you. And then God has you. That's how you come under the government of God. He says a treatment can last all day or all night. Sometimes we've gotten that far away from discerning the presence that it takes all day to become calm enough, still enough, effortless enough to feel that presence. So a treatment can last all day or all night, or it can be of a minute's duration. Whatever its length, it is a good treatment if it leads back to the realization of God as an individual being. It's a good treatment if it leads back to your discerning God as an individual being. Every treatment should be spontaneous because a ready-made treatment is of less value than no treatment at all. So let's say that you found Joel's writing here where it says, God is law, the only law. If God is the only law, there cannot be a law of inharmony, such as a law of disease, a law of separation, infection, or contagion. They are not reality, and they are not cause. God alone is the law, and God is the law of harmony onto his creation, maintaining and sustaining it. And you liked that? You read it? You liked it? You took it into meditation with you? You rehearsed it? Now, nighttime comes, you go to bed, you get up in the morning, you sit down to meditate. God is law. If God is the only law, there cannot be a law of inharmony. There can only be a law of harmony. And so you're repeating his treatment. Now, it may lead you to a moment of silence, or it may not. But pay attention to what he says here. A ready-made treatment is of less value than no treatment at all. So you don't want to memorize one of his treatments or one of yours, and then repeat that the next day, the next hour. They must be spontaneous. Certainly no two treatments should be or will be alike. Therefore, do not try to use the same treatment tomorrow that you use today. You might give the most powerful treatment in the world today, one which lifts you to a place in consciousness where somebody is raised from the dead. And yet, you'll find that tomorrow it might not even heal a headache. If you are called upon to give 100 treatments in a day, they must be 100 different treatments. Why is that? Can you see why that is? Because spontaneity will lead you to listening, to being receptive, to hearing something fresh and new. And I wrote down here, the treatment's not finished until spirit moves over the face of the deep, your very own consciousness. The use of words, formulas, or statements of truth in the sense of treatment is as useless as trying to get today's news out of yesterday's newspaper or trying to pick yesterday's manna. Yes, words and formulas and statements of truth, that's all on the mental level. They are called vain repetitions. Do not try to use the inspiration of today for a treatment tomorrow. Inspiration will come at any moment that there is a need, because your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I think that's quite wonderful. It means you should be able to sit back, close your eyes, listen, and receive a treatment for today, every time you close your eyes. Now, unfortunately, we get caught up in politics. We're worried about what President Biden is going to do, or we're worried about what former President Trump is going to do, and we get all caught up in it emotionally, and maybe someone has the opposite candidate that we do, and we want to defend our candidate, we want to reason him or her out of their choice, and we get all caught up in personalities and power and struggles and state of the nation. So there is no one treatment or form of treatment that meets every need. This is because all human beings live at different levels. This paragraph here is really something. This is because all human beings live at different levels. Furthermore, not only is each person at a different state or stage of consciousness, but any one person is at a different stage of consciousness on different days. Inasmuch as no one is always on the same level of consciousness, a treatment must meet the needs of the particular state of consciousness of the particular person on the particular day. Now, all of that should cause you to say, wait a minute, how can I possibly do that? And the answer is, you can't. Which is why you need to cease and desist from man whose breath is in his nostrils, and you must become a vehicle, a transparency. You must become an instrument that the Father can use to give the treatment. Well, how do I do that? Be still and know I am God. Stand ye still and see. As many as receive him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. Here in your inner temple, you create an opening. Father, speak, for thy servant heareth. I will wait upon God. You become an opening, and God utters his voice. For Joel this day, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, if you have wandered so far away that you can't get in touch and feel this presence immediately, then you may have to contemplate some things, and it may take you all day. But eventually you will slide into or slip into that inner rest. There remaineth a rest. Find your rest in God and let God use you. The treatment is a realization of the problem as the carnal mind, and the treatment always remains on the level of God. So the treatment is a discerning that the problem is a mental image. And it always remains on the level of God, which is why he says repeatedly, begin your meditation with the word God. Now, when you utter the word God within you, does the mind kick in and say, well, God is infinite, God is eternal, God is all loving? Or when you utter the word God, does your soul take over, and do you hear the word of God? Or when you utter the word God within you, do you feel God's presence? As a practitioner, you have no advice to offer, and therefore you have nothing to do with the human aspects of the case, because the human picture has no relationship whatsoever to the divine. Someone comes to you and says, my husband is drinking, and he's drinking too much. I don't mean that he's drunk, just that he always has a beer in his hand. He always has a shot of whiskey. He wakes up and has some. He goes to a bar during his lunch break, and he comes home and he has some before dinner, and he has some after dinner and before bed. What should I do? Well, there you have it. He says here, you have no advice to offer. The human picture has no relationship whatsoever to the divine. Spiritual work is not a patching up of the human scene. And so, what should I do? You have no advice to offer. The only answer to that is go within and see what the voice directs you to do. And usually by then the person will stop asking questions, because They'd rather have a ready-made answer. But you know what to do. You need to go within and have a meditation until this person in your consciousness is released. You are set free. And you commune with the presence. It is an understanding that what is appearing to us as a problem is a suggestion of a self apart from God, having no more substance than the water on the desert. And so it's a mirage. With this awareness, not the thought, he didn't say with this thought, he said with this awareness, the awareness that this is a mirage. Then comes the realization or the discernment of God as the only being, complete and whole. That realization, that discernment, would bring an assurance, and with it would come a sense of peace. If the assurance did not come, he says, then I would sit down again and establish the peace and quiet within myself until the feeling came that all was well. You must have noticed by now, he says, that the entire treatment is a recognition of the non-power of the condition. It deals only with God, and it is always on the level of God, not on the level of the mortal man. Furthermore, the treatment is given almost before the telephone is put back on the hook, or if the request for help has come by way of a letter, it is accomplished before I have reached the bottom of the page. However, if I did not immediately sense that all was well, I would sit back for a moment, meditate, find my inner peace, realize or discern my oneness with God, and this is treatment. Now here is a man that practiced this so much, so often over the years that he barely had to blink his eyes to discern that God is all, to actually feel it, be consciously aware of it. You and I have not had the practice that he has had, hundreds of calls coming a day. So it takes us a little longer. But with every treatment that we give that results in discerning omnipresence, more and more that becomes a living part of our consciousness. And we too eventually will turn within and with the blink of an eye commune with that presence. It becomes a working part of consciousness. This is the living God, not a God 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, not a God 50 years ago with Joel or 60 years ago now. No. The living God fills your consciousness with itself. And I and my Father are one. Consciousness and God are one. But saying those words are almost useless. It is the actual discernment, discerning, feeling with your soul faculty. I and the Father are one entity, one identity, one spirit. You feel that and its movement within you, and anyone turning to you is healed. The discernment is what heals. Why? Because it enters your consciousness and becomes your consciousness, and anyone touching your consciousness feels it. They feel it. All right. Furthermore, the treatment is given almost before the telephone receiver is put on, back on the hook. However, if I did not immediately sense that all was well, I would sit back for a moment, meditate, find my inner peace, realize or discern my oneness with God, and this is the treatment. If an hour or two later, a case should come back to my thought with a feeling of urgency, I would give another treatment, because the very fact that it has come back to my mind indicates that it is undoubtedly unfinished business. Again, the realization is that the problem is but an appearance, and that God is the only life, indivisible, inseparable, and perfect. At the moment of realization or discernment, your treatment is complete. It wasn't complete when you sat down and rehearsed that God is the only life, indivisible, inseparable, and perfect. It was that minute, that moment after that, when in receptivity you discerned that God is the only life. Then your treatment is complete. This may be the very moment when your patient is healed. However, the healing is not always immediately apparent. There are many reasons for a delayed response. The healing of a specific disease, physical, mental, or whatever, is not the aim of spiritual healing. The healing of a disease is not the aim of spiritual healing. The demonstration is the discerning of God. That's the demonstration. In every meditation, every prayer, every treatment, the demonstration is discerning God omnipresent. Your discerning is the treatment. And it's the goal of treatment. The goal is not healing. The goal is discerning. If you begin any treatment by asking, Father, what is the nature of this demonstration? Very quickly the answer may come in a form such as this. Demonstrate me. Demonstrate that I am a living, moving being in your life. Demonstrate that I am present in you. Demonstrate that I am as vital in you as I was in my Son, Jesus Christ. So now if I put a test before you and I said, what is the purpose of spiritual healing? And you answered, to heal or dissolve mental images, you would fail. Spiritual healing is not to heal. Spiritual healing is to demonstrate me, to get the actual feeling, the actual discernment of God omnipresent. This is spiritual healing. Unless you go to God for but one purpose, for God and God alone, you are acknowledging two powers, good and evil, and you are expecting God, the big good power, to do something to the nasty little evil power. Rest will never come, nor will peace, as long as you are waiting for a great big God to do something to an error. Peace will come only when you can sit quietly in the realization, in the discerning, "Thank you, Father. All I expect of your word is that it will burst the bubble, pierce the veil, because harmony already is." And you're discerning the harmony that already is the same as discerning God. It's demonstrating me. You should want God only for the purpose of God realization. Do we see how different this is than what we thought it was? Spiritual healing is not to help Harriet with her arthritis. Spiritual healing is to consciously feel God's presence. It's to demonstrate me. It's to discern the living God in your midst. The minute you try to direct God to bring you companionship or a home, an occupation or a talent, then God becomes the means to an end, and that is shocking. The commonly accepted concept of prayer and treatment is that God will do something for you, or that by your words, God can be influenced in the right direction. That is not prayer, and that is why most prayer is not effective. The only effective prayer is the attainment of God realization, the attainment of discerning God. Usually, the second half of the treatment is much shorter than the first half. And even though it is the more important part, it is one which many metaphysicians disregard entirely. They think that the treatment they have given is the healing agency, and that is the reason so many treatments are not successful. Two parts. Always remember, two parts. The first part is you rehearsing a statement of truth or something that comes to you to contemplate, like it did to him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and he contemplated it until its meaning opened up to him. And if you are contemplating truth, its meaning will open up to you. And you will most likely find yourself saying, "Thank you, Father, as I rest in your presence. I and the Father, and the Father in me. I and the Father are one." And then it's still not over. Not over. Not over. There it is, a feeling of the presence. Now all is well, and I know it. Once again, I must repeat, you do not give the treatment that heals. No, you contemplate truth, you know the truth, you rehearse truth, you come to a place of silence where you're not doing anything anymore. You're standing still. And in that stillness, in the center of that stillness, behold, I come quickly. That inner I, you feel it. I am the way. And you feel an inner release. It's wonderful. And you rest here. That's the treatment that heals, the second part, which is much shorter than the first, because sometimes it takes you all day to get here. Once again, I must repeat, you do not give the treatment that heals. You are but the vehicle through which it comes. Your treatment is merely to prepare your consciousness for the receptivity of the real treatment, the Word of God, which comes to you from God within, into the state of receptivity which has been developed through knowing the truth, the Word of God pours itself forth. God gives the treatment, which does the actual healing work. So, you begin with your prayer. As quickly as possible, you find your inner peace. You cease from praying and you rest. Then from within, there's an inner movement. Consciousness expands. You feel the Holy Ghost upon you. This Holy Ghost, the Spirit, is the one that prays. It may say, "Be not afraid, it is I." Who knows what it'll say? It may say, "God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost." It may say, "Take no thought, I am the way." But you will know God is the one who prays within you. You know the truth. Find your center. Find your peace. Find your stillness and listen. The living God then prays in you. It's God's prayer that completes the treatment. You do not give the treatment that heals. God gives the treatment which does the actual healing work. The ultimate of treatment is reached when no words, no statements of truth, no affirmations, and no denials are used. That is the ultimate state. From time to time, there is a reverting to a form of treatment that has in it some words and some thoughts. However, it must be understood that no treatment is complete until some measure of inner assurance has been achieved. You raise yourself up to that point where you receive that inner release, which assures you that the treatment is complete. But it does make a difference that you do not consider the treatment complete until you have had this feeling of peace within yourself. And so this release, yes, no such thing as personality. That's a mental image. Those are concepts. God is here. I feel God. I rest in it, consciously aware. God is. Then this God does the healing. It does the prayer which results in healing. There's a feeling of release too. I'm floating on a sea of spirit. And it's wonderful. God really is. God's not in a book. God's not even in a talk. God is within you, and you're communing with that, discerning that God is the healing treatment. Treatment clears your thought of superstitions, of ignorance and false theories, and makes of it a transparency for my thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So cease from your thoughts. Be still and hear my thoughts. You will never be a healer. You may be a practitioner, but you will never be a healer. The sense of peace that comes to you, the peace that passes understanding, is the healer. When you attain that, healing takes place. It is the awareness of God that does the healing. And so the secret is discerning God. The secret is discernment. The last line in this chapter is wonderful. It is the awareness of God, the discernment of God, the realization of God that does the healing. Why? Because when your world is in your consciousness. The entire universe is in your consciousness. And when your consciousness is divided, thinking thoughts of good and thoughts of evil, you see one candidate and you think, oh, he's going to fix this country once and for all. That's a good thought. You see pictures of the other candidate and you think, why doesn't somebody just assassinate him? That's an evil thought. So your consciousness is divided. You've got good and evil. And that divided consciousness is the law onto you. And so you live according to the law. And if you sow any of those thoughts, you will reap corruption. But we are a different breed. We're a new humanity. We are learning to listen. We are learning to be receptive. We are learning to commune with an inner feeling of oneness. We are learning to discern God in our consciousness, which then permeates the universe. Our universe. Then we have the consciousness of spirit, and spirit forms itself as our universe. And it's wonderful, it's beautiful. It's home, sweet home. When there is enough of us, and I don't know how many that is, we will flip this universe into a spiritual universe. There will be enough of us listening that spirit will take over all. And there will be no good and evil anymore. Only spirit formed. We say that's heaven. Well, it is. And it's you and I that is helping to bring heaven right here. With our little 2-minute meditations many times during the day and night. At first it becomes your living experience, your discernment, which makes your universe harmonious. Then someone finds out about you and asks for help, and you help them. So your consciousness is reaching out, becoming one with those who reach out to you. And finally, it becomes a way of life that, well, I live yet not I, Christ liveth me. And so this inner spiritual presence begins living you. Now it's adding to the entire universe. It's adding spirit. You are a living, breathing Christ of God. Anyone, anywhere, reaching out to Christ is released by your Christ consciousness. By then you will know others that are also doing this. If you're fortunate, you'll be able to get together with them, or with him, or with her. But otherwise, you'll have to continue to practice alone. Because now, it practices you. My oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being and idea. Okay. Next week we have Chapter 7, Practical Instructions to Workers. He begins with, all healing is the result of individual consciousness, yours and mine. It is not dependent on God. No, God is ising. It's dependent on your awareness of God. It's dependent on your discerning omnipresence. It's dependent on your realization of oneness. So we have a work ahead of us, don't we? We must begin. Somewhere, someone must begin to turn this universe around so that it is a spiritual universe realized. And I'm willing to start now, and I hope you are too. Why don't we set aside a time? We haven't done this in a while. Why don't we set aside a time? Not a time on the clock, a time out of your day. Before you retire at night, have a meditation. whose only goal is to release Christ to the world. Get your center. Find your peace. Stand ye still and release Christ. Father, fulfill thyself. And then stand here, sit here, wait here until the movement of Christ tells you Christ is released into the world, into your consciousness which contains the world. All right, let's do that. Let's do that together. I'm going to start tonight, and hopefully you'll join me. I guess that's about enough from me. Thank you. I always thank you for drawing this out. Sometimes it's wonderful. I mean, it's just wonderful. It goes far beyond what I would expect. And this is one of those times. So thank you, thank you, thank you for drawing this out. Join me in evening meditations or nighttime meditations. I'm going to do this also if I wake up in the middle of the night. Join me and let's bring Christ to the situation. Enough of our human resources. Let's bring Christ. Thank you. God bless. And good night.